Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Zion, everybody. Glad to see you all here. I'm Vicar Carey. I know this is my first time actually being in front of you outside of my installation or induction service. But if you don't know who I am, that's who I am. I know we have a few announcements. I think Diane had a few things to say for us this morning. Okay, well, seeing no more announcements, let's begin with our opening hymn, LSB 837.
Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Come, Christians, follow where our captain trod. Our King victorious, Christ the Son of God. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Led on their way by this triumphant sign, the host of God in conquering ranks combine. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim. Till all the world adore his sacred name. All newborn soldiers of the crucified bear on their brows the seal of him who died. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, as thou hast promised, draw us all to thee. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. Let every race and every language tell of him who saves our lives from death and hell. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. So shall our throng of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified for victory. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down.
The Lord loves the righteous.
So also faith by itself,
if it does not have works, is dead.
But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works.
Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Let us confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake has forgiven us all of our sins. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be open to the prayers of your humble servants.
And grant that what we ask may be in accord with your gracious will.
Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from James chapter 2. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppressed you and the ones who drag you into court? Are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you are called? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the laws as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more they charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. At this time, I invite the children forward for a brief children's message. How are you guys this morning? Now, do you remember what I just read from our gospel reading? What did Jesus do? Yeah, he healed a deaf man. You know, it's kind of similar to some of those miracles you guys learned in VBS. It's one of those other miracles that we didn't quite talk about, but this one, Jesus heals a deaf man. You know, what's important about that? Do we remember why it's important that Jesus performs miracles? So they can feel better. Well, a little bit. But, you know, if we think about it, did Jesus heal everybody? Do you guys still get sick?
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't heal everybody then, does he? So if it wasn't to make them feel better all the time, what exactly was he doing it for? And if you don't know, that's okay, too. We'll just talk about it. So Jesus heals people so that we know that he's God, right? So that we know that he did things to show that he is God. So he healed us, or healed the deaf man, the deaf mute man in our text, to show us that he's God. And there's also something kind of neat that happened. And there's something that happened here. I know your aunt shared that with me just yesterday, actually, that something happened right up here for you guys that is kind of similar to what happened with this deaf man. Do you remember anything special that happened to you guys up here? It might be right behind you. Are you guys baptized? Yeah, right. So Jesus, in our text, he heals this deaf man so he can hear. And in hearing, he now can hear the gospel. And then he can go and proclaim that to other people. So when you guys were baptized, you were opened up spiritually. God opened your ears spiritually. The Holy Spirit was given to you so you can now go and hear the gospel and have faith and grow up in church and learn more about Jesus. And so that way you can go and share it with other people. That's what's pretty cool. And that's why Jesus did that miracle, was so that man could actually know who he was. And it's also to show us that's what our lives are like, that we get to hear the word of God and get to go out and then go proclaim it, zealously proclaim it, kind of like what our text said. Okay, well, we can close with a prayer. Is that okay? Go ahead and repeat after me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for healing the deaf man.
Thank you for giving us the deaf man.
To remind us of our baptism.
To remind us of our baptism.
For you opened our ears.
For you opened our ears.
To hear your word.
To hear your word.
so we can proclaim it to others.
So we can proclaim it to others.
In your name we pray.
In your name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can go back to your seats. And now we will sing our hymn of the day, LSB 814.
Bless the Lord, my soul. Let all within me join, and aid my tongue to bless His name, whose favors are divine. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul. Nor let His mercies lie forgotten in unthankfulness, and without praises die. 'Tis He forgives my sins, 'tis He relieves my pain, 'tis He that heals my sicknesses and makes the young again. He crowns thy life with love when ransomed from the grave. He that redeemed my soul from hell has sovereign power to save. He fills the poor with good. He gives the sufferers rest. The Lord hath judgments for the proud and justice for the oppressed. His wondrous works and ways He made by Moses known, but sent the world His truth and grace by His beloved Son.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I had a professor at Concordia Ann Arbor who often told us something along these lines. Always ask yourself why something is the way that it is in a piece of literature and nothing else. And I often find myself contemplating that. And I bet it would come to no shock to any of you that this was one of my English professors. So he would always drive us to look at a text and to understand the how, when, where, and why, and the cultural context, and all those fun things. And I often find myself just having that comment linger in my mind, whether I'm watching the news or I'm maybe just reading anything in general. But it especially comes to mind when I'm reading scripture. And there's a few peculiar things and odd things that happen in our text for today, in the gospel text, especially Jesus. For starters, He spits into His hand and then He grabs a guy's tongue. Now, if I were to do that to any of you, I might leave here with a shiner by the end of the service, and you would maybe talk to Pastor Marcus and go, I don't know about that Vicar Carey guy. Take him back. I don't want him. But that's really not what I'm focusing on for this text. There's something that's, I think, more odd in our text, and it's actually that after He heals this guy, after he can now hear the gospel and he loosens his tongue to be able to speak, He tells him, and the crowd around him, tell no one. And that's just strange. Why would Jesus say to these people, tell no one? Why would He not let these guys go out and now proclaim what just happened to them? But wouldn't He know best of all that it is faith in Him that's going to save them? And so my question that I have pondered and thought about and mulled over for thinking about this text is, why did Jesus say, tell no one? And so, wasn't the deaf man's tongue released for this very reason, so he could go out and proclaim? And just imagine for a moment that you're this deaf, mute man who's not been able to hear his whole life. And then some of the first words you hear someone say after your tongue is released and your ears are open to hear is this Jesus guy that you haven't met, these people have brought you to, he says, "Don't go tell people about me now." Now, and I've heard of this new technology for folks that have been born deaf from birth, and they can get these implants in their ears that can actually allow them to hear again, or actually be able to hear certain frequencies so they can actually hear in general. Now, it'd be like that doctor going and saying, "Well, I know I helped you, but if you have any friends that know that need some help for this or want to get this surgery or this implant, don't tell them about me, you hear?" And so wouldn't Jesus, the great physician, be even more important for these people to go and proclaim? He is the one that will heal us of all sins and all, and give us eternal spiritual healing, something far greater than any earthly healing. So why does Jesus tell this man not to go and tell anyone? And, I mean, we've read the text, we listened to the text, we know that he goes out, and with the crowd, they zealously proclaim it. The more he charged them not to, they go out and they proclaim it. But what exactly is it that they learned about Jesus in this whole entire scenario? And it's not likely that this man knew Jesus for a long time, or else he might have probably already been healed. So what is it that he actually heard Jesus say? And our text seems to say not too much. He just says, "Ephatha, be opened," and now he hears. But what exactly did he get to know? And the fact is that this man probably didn't hear much else outside of he knows that Jesus is this miracle worker. And at this time, for people in this area, that could mean a number of things, and most of which does not mean that Jesus is the Son of God who has become flesh to die on behalf of sinners and save the world. So maybe there's something to be said. That's why he says, "Tell no one." And there's a reason in the text that his ability to hear was healed first. Notice that that's what the main focus was. He says, "Be opened," and his ears were opened. And so it wasn't that he can now go out and speak and tell everybody about everything that just happened, but in fact, he wanted him to go about and listen. He wanted him to hear the word of God. Now, just imagine this man in this instance. He hasn't got the full picture of who Jesus is. He's just been healed. He hasn't been able to hear the gospel yet. So now, he needs to listen. So a good way of thinking about it is if we were to have been in, say, a meeting, and we missed maybe half of it, well, someone missed the full meeting. Well, if that person came to me and asked, "Hey, what happened in the meeting?" I would first start out by saying, "I wasn't at the whole thing, so I only know this much. I don't have the full picture, so I can't give him everything, but I would probably direct him to go to somebody that had the full picture so that he could actually hear all of that." So that's where this man is. He doesn't have the full picture. So we don't want to spread falsehood by accident, but that's what's happening here, is they don't have the full picture, and they don't know who to actually point to. They don't necessarily even know who the true God is to point to. So now, the question of who this man is and where he's from actually matters too, because our text opens and tells us that this man was in the region of the Decapolis. And that region is a region of about 10 cities, give or take a few. Some are added in, kind of like the Big Ten. People just keep adding to the Big Ten now. But we don't know exactly if he was really a Jew or even someone that would know who Jesus was. And predominantly those places in the Decapolis were pagan. They were non-Jewish. They wouldn't really know who Jesus was at all. So to him, this man that healed him might have actually just been one of his many gods that have come down to bless him. So what if he goes out and says that such and such God that isn't true, he goes out and proclaims that? Maybe that's why Jesus is saying, "Tell no one." And even if he was a Jew, maybe Jesus is just a good prophet who's proclaiming the word of God. Now, there are times that we can fall into a similar desire as these people in the crowd and the deaf man, that we want to just kind of have a miracle. And that seemingly maybe is what they're wanting to do, is they want to spread the word about this miracle worker so they can get all these earthly possessions and healings and everything that they could need on earth. And it's easy to fall into that trap. We sometimes want a God who will work at our every whim, and a God who will give us as much earthly blessing as possible and just will enrich our daily lives. And you even hear it sometimes among some of the people that we call prosperity gospel preachers. They'll tell you health, wealth, and family. That is your judge of how much God has blessed you and how much he loves you. And if you have those things, God loves you. So especially sometimes the money aspect is what they focus on. There might be something to that too. And we got to be aware that those are additional blessings. And that there are. We do get blessed in our earthly lives. We do receive blessings in this life. But what is more important is what we receive for eternity. And that's what Jesus provides. And that's what these people were missing, is that he is giving them an eternal promise, but they haven't slowed down to listen. And in sometimes, like these people, we also need to hear the words, be opened, just like that deaf man, so that our life may come back into perspective. Sometimes the perils and tribulations of the world and all of the things going on around us seem to overburden us, and we kind of just tune out. We can't stop the white noise, and it just keeps glaring in our ears. And sometimes that might be because of the news channels. We get so infuriated by the things happening in the world or things around us. Or maybe it's just so hard with people in our lives that are struggling financially, health-wise, whatever it may be. It can become tough to focus on that reality that we have for eternity. And yet Christ has opened our hearts and minds. And it happened there at the font for many of you, maybe even in this very church. I don't know enough of you to know that yet, but I'm sure many of you were baptized right here. And in sometimes, I'm sure it can feel as though we hear the same thing over and over again, maybe from the pulpit, or maybe when we read our Bible or we pick up our own devotions. And trust me, being at the seminary, when you have daily chapel, you can go, oh, I've heard that before. So, but the Word of God is more than that. It's actually something that's living and active. And each time you hear it, and each time it's received, it renews your spirit. The Holy Spirit is received again, anew, and it enlivens your faith to life everlasting. That's why we come here each weekend, to be filled back up with that faith so that we can go back out and share it again. And the Word is how we come to know salvation. So by hearing it, we already know about that salvation, but now we can go and proclaim it. The more we learn it, the more we can actually give people good information, good knowledge about Jesus, good wisdom. Now, this is where we started. So should we go and tell no one? That's kind of where I started, right? That's kind of why tell no one. And I think the answer is obvious. You've been here long enough. I'm sure you know. The answer is not go hide it under a bushel. You're not going to go hide it under a bushel. The answer is that we can go and zealously proclaim it, because we, unlike these people in this crowd, actually have listened to the Word of God. Some of you baptized here, raised up in the faith, confirmed, and now in your daily lives, in your private devotions, and each Sunday that you're here, you have heard it your whole lives, and you can go and share it. And that's the glory of it, because it's not about what happens here and now, it's about what is to come. And each weekend when we hear it, it's a reminder of what Jesus has done right there, and it's also a reminder of what he will do in the world to come and in our resurrection. On the last day, he will raise us. And so in baptism, just like I was telling the kids, our ears were opened to hear, our spiritual ears opened. And just like the deaf man, we are now given the ability to hear the gospel, to actually learn it, to have the Holy Spirit to guide us and teach us in the faith. And in baptism, the Lord breathed his Holy Spirit into us, saying, "Ephphatha," that is, be opened. And in fact, unlike this deaf man whose mouth was kind of unsealed and unglued, ours is actually unsealed by the Holy Spirit so that we may confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And with Spirit-filled hearts, we are open to hear the gospel, and we can now proclaim it to all who have received it. So when reading Scripture, we should embrace and consider what is happening in the text and asking ourselves why this way and no other. This text raises some questions, but they're pretty quick to be answered once we kind of dig in and think about it. And the answers to who Jesus is and what he does are all right there. And it's just that man was missing it, and now we actually have that, and we can actually go and say it. So it shows us the Christian life, this text. It shows us that we were once opened. We were once deaf spiritually, born into sin, conceived in sin, but now we're open to hear. And like the deaf man, we needed those ears opened. And the deaf man had not yet learned the fullness of that message. He didn't have that full picture. He wasn't going to have people come to him and ask him, hey, what's that Jesus guy about? He wouldn't be able to tell them. He would just know he's a miracle worker. But we have been trained up in that faith. You have been trained up in that faith. And unlike that man, we've been baptized so that we can be spirit-filled and able to go out into the world and proclaim. So you can go and zealously proclaim the gospel, just as Jesus commanded in the Great Commission, because you first listened here or wherever you were raised up in the faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. At this time, we will bring forward our offerings.
Your only Son, no sin to hide, but you have hid him from your side to walk upon this guilty sod and to become the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Your gift of love they crucified, they laughed and scorned him as he died. The humble king they named a fraud, and sacrificed the Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. I was so lost, I should have died, but you have brought me to your side, to be led by your staff and rod, and to be called a Lamb of God. O Lamb of God, sweet Lamb of God, I love the holy Lamb of God. O wash me in his precious blood, my Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God.
Please rise for prayer. Father in heaven, you sent your Son into this world to testify concerning the truth. We pray that, like the deaf man, you may open up our hearts and minds to the same truth, namely forgiveness in Christ's death, knowing that you have done all things well. We pray for the whole church, that you may uphold and strengthen her in this world, raising up those who faithfully proclaim and teach your word. We pray especially for Zion as they go through this vacancy. Allow this transition to be smooth, and that the appropriate pastoral candidate may be called to serve the congregation. We also lift before you those who are sick or struggling with long-term afflictions, especially Margaret, Charlotte, Bernetta, Mary Ellen, Gary, Bill, Bryson, Joy, Kim, Andrew, Brandy, Maverick, Heather, Gary, Mark, Michael, Ray, Lane, Chelsea, and Norma. Grant that they might receive comfort and healing and give them peace in your word. For the family of Marshall and Arlene, that they may be comforted in this time of grief, knowing that you, O Lord, will reunite them in the resurrection to come. We also give thanks for Taylor's birthday this week, that you have upheld and strengthened her for another year, and will continue to strengthen her in the faith. We pray for this nation and for our President Joe, that you may guide all in authority so that they may make godly decisions and use your word as the basis of truth. And lastly, we pray for a fruitful harvest this fall season, giving thanks to you, O Lord, for providing all that we need in body and soul. Trusting in your promises, we boldly pray the prayer that your Son taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord look upon us with his favor and give us his peace.
Amen.
You may be seated for our closing hymn, LSB 660.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army he shall lead, till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. Stand forth in mighty conflict in this his glorious day. Let all his faithful serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the din of battle, the next the victor's song. The soldiers overcoming, their crown of life shall see.